want you to turn to the Bible book of Romans, chapter number 4. I'm planning on to be preaching tonight as well at the 6 o'clock service. And what a topic we're going to deal with tonight. It is a plague in our society. Literally is. Romans chapter number 4, verse number 1 says, "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not of grace, but of debt. But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much that we can gather in this place this morning, that we can sing the marvelous songs that glorify you and to remind us of so many truths that teach us. And we thank you that we can come into your presence together in this form of worship. Lord, we thank you that we can give to you. We thank you that we can hear the beautiful music that Chris and Jalen did. I pray that you would just cause us to be appreciative of all that you have done. We pray for your strength, for your blessing. Lord, somehow that you would heal this throat. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you today to look at verse number 7 and 8 and notice a word that is used there. It says, blessed. Blessed. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Interesting thing about bless. I've watched a number of television shows through the years, and there would be somebody that would say, I'd like for you to bless me. Down in Costa Rica, they have a day every year that they take their animals to the cathedral or the wherever they go, and they meet with the priest, and he blesses them. I don't know what that means, to bless an animal. But I understand from the, the dictionary that bless means to seek favor upon another. To seek favor upon another. And then we look at the word blessed, and when we put it in its context, it means favor is bestowed. Favor is bestowed. And so we find, according to our text, the favor bestowed is forgiveness. The favor bestowed is what I would describe as imputed righteousness. If we were to go back and to read and study chapters 1 through 3, we find that the theme has been the depravity of man, both Jew and Gentile. The book of Romans is one of the great doctrinal books of the Bible, and so it begins with what some people call soteriology. Didn't that thrill your soul? It's all about depravity. It's all about the sinfulness of man. In Romans chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin." He goes on to say, "And as it is written, There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so we learn there that you and I, we are sinners. The Jews believed that because they had the oracles of God, that they were, that had been committed to them, that they had a special favor of God. And they believed because they went through the rite of circumcision, that that meant that they had that special favor. But yet God, in his omniscience, he says in verse number one, notice what it says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? He uses Abraham to illustrate their error of thinking. For he goes on and says in verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works. I liked what somebody said about the word justify. It simply means just as if I never sinned. And really it's referring to that. For if Abraham were justified by works, in other words, his sin would be covered by his works. It says he hath worry whereof to glory. He's got something to brag about. But you notice the last few words? But not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Now Abraham really had been a Gentile. Abraham was a heathen, and God called him out of the land of the Chaldeans and told him to go to the land of promise, that which is now Israel. And we find that Abraham believed what God said, and he arose and left and came in to the promised land. He had no reason to glory in his own goodness, for we find that he just believed God and allowed that to be his salvation. In Genesis chapter 5, it's referring to a particular event in Abraham's life, and that is that when Abraham took his son or was to have a son, it wasn't happening. Matter of fact, when he's 99 years of age, he still does not have a son. And yet in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6, it says, and he believed in the Lord. Even though it seemed like he was way past age, even though his wife is 90 years of age, he still believes in the Lord. And it says he counted it for righteousness. It counted it for righteousness. We find that there are really a number of words in this chapter that talk about counted for. One of those words is to impute or reckon. And so his righteousness was imputed. It was counted on his account. It was reckoned to him. In other words, it's a banking term in some regards, whereby the banker, who is God, put upon the account of Abraham righteousness. Why did he need that? Because he, like all of us, have been bound to be sinners. It says, for all have sinned, but yet he received that because he believed God. Now, there's a great lie of the centuries. There's a great lie that goes out among what I would say are false churches. And what they are saying is that you could be made right with God through your good works. You could have the peace and marvelous joy of God because you do good things. The average person, if I asked them if they were going to go to heaven, they would say, well, yes. I said, well, how do you know that? Matter of fact, I asked a lady that this week, and I said, how do you know that? And matter of fact, it was a guy, excuse me. He says, well, I got baptized 5 years ago. Do we understand? Baptism is right. Baptism is good. It shows that we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in his death, his burial, that's the way we go under the water, and his resurrection. But it does not save us. If we believed that baptism saved us, we would have a new form of soul winning. We wouldn't go invite people to come to church. We wouldn't try to speak to them about Jesus. We would buy ourselves a big old water truck, cut a hole in the top of it, and go down the street and grab them and throw in the water and throw them back on the street saved. But that isn't what salvation is. And so we find that the great lie of the centuries is that many believe that it's by their good works. Remember what Ephesians says? In chapter 2, verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us here have a reason to boast in ourselves. We can't boast in Jesus and the work he did for us. The more we think we can justify ourselves by our works, I believe the farther we go into sin's debt. Is that what it says in verse 4? Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. What is our life? It's a series of building a sin debt against God. Let me ask you this. How many were perfect this week? I gotta put my hand down. Anybody perfect this week? Can any of you say, my spouse was perfect this week? Can any of you say, my children were perfect this week? Well, what about yesterday? Can we say we were perfect all day? No, we do things wrong, don't we? We sin. And every sin brings a debt upon our soul. And we are then in a place where we owe something for that sin. And the wages of sin is death. It's what we deserve. With this in mind, David then quotes Psalm 32:1. And it says there, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is forgiven. Blessed, why? Because our sins are forgiven. They are covered over. They are made so we are clean before God. This is what it says in Psalm 103. Verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. There are a number of words that talk about sin. And here it uses the word transgression. It is stepping across a boundary. And you and I certainly have done that. And it says, as far as the east is from the west, he hath removed our transgressions from us. We can go to the North Pole. We can go to the South Pole. But did you know there's no East Pole? There's no West Pole. And so God is using that to illustrate to us that it's gone forever. It's gone forever. You can go east as far as you want, you'll not find it. You can turn and go west as far as you want, and you can't find it. Our sins have been forgiven. In Micah chapter 7, verse 19, he says, he will not turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And then he says, and thou shalt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. All of our sins in the depth of the sea. I've been told that the depth of the sea goes down some 7 miles. But here's something interesting. You can't go more than about 30 or 40 feet, and your body will begin to implode. And yet God says, I've cast it way down there. Nobody can find it. Nobody can find it. Isaiah says, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. God's put it all behind him. I'm so thankful my sins can be forgiven. They can be covered. There was a time that a guy, he says to a little girl who was talking about this, he says, well, what happens if God turns around? And the little girl in her wisdom said, when God turns around, his back goes with him. And the sins are still forgiven. They are covered. God holds nothing against you. When you put your faith in him, you get justified. You have no sin to your account. Matter of fact, God has put righteousness on your account. Just for believing who you really are, a sinner who deserves the penalty of death, who he really is, a God who loves us and brought his son to die for us. And what he alone can do for you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And through him, sins can be forgiven. They can be covered. So this last week, by your own admission, you did things wrong. But if you're saved, you've been forgiven. Those sins have been covered over. You say, preacher, if that's true, that whatever I do is covered by God, well, then I can just go out and do anything and I'm forgiven. Well, in a sense, that is true. But when one is forgiven, there's a change that's taken place in their heart. And they don't want to any longer. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Secondly, as we think of the word blessed, not only is it for our sins that are forgiven, but the righteousness that is imputed. We spoke of this, that which is put on our account, that which is reckoned to us, it is imputed. And thank God for that. And so when we think about this word blessed, let's think about the favor that God has bestowed to us. And that favor is only operable when you believe what God tells us about it. Pretty simple, amen. But for some reason, people don't want to go that direction. Do you know why? They love their sin. They don't want it taken away. They don't want it covered over. They enjoy it. By the way, sin is pleasurable for a season. But there comes always a payday. I trust that you want your sins to be covered. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these moments together. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that we can have the blessedness, the favor of an almighty God upon our lives. A favor that dismisses all of our sin when we're willing to believe you. I pray, O God, that you would work in hearts and that today you would be glorified. For we pray in Christ's name.